May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Song of Solomon. In the way these things work that I share, they just come out of my prayer time. I just, whatever God speaks to me, that's what we talk about. And so sometimes it's from familiar places and that we've listened to and heard, but the Lord just speaks them fresh to me in fresh ways. Just remind you about the Song of Solomon, that there are some of the key players in the Song of Solomon. Again, Solomon, which is a type of Christ. You have the Shulamite and the Daughters of Jerusalem. The Daughters of Jerusalem are believers, but they're comfortable with where they're at. They're faithful churchgoers, just faithful Christians who love God, who love Jesus. But the Shulamite is one who's caught a glimpse of the love of Christ, and she wants to explore what it would be like to fully experience and fully manifest her union with Christ, no matter what it cost, no matter what you had to do in terms of experiencing and manifesting everything that Jesus is. And so at the beginning of this book, this is one of the places I've preached from or taught from many, many, many times over the years, have recently. This is verse 4, and the Shulamite says, "Take me away with you, and let us run." And the response is, "The king has brought me into his chambers." And I love that the word chambers is plural there, in that there's just this never-ending encounter, this never-ending discovery, this never-ending experience, this never-ending manifestation of all that Jesus is. Scripture talks about the riches of Christ that are unsearchable. We'll forever be discovering the riches of Christ, even in eternity. And we all possess all the riches of Christ, but we're on this wonderful, magnificent journey of discovering all that so that we can experience and manifest all that Jesus has and is in us. And when he always answers his prayer, whenever you pray that prayer, "Lord, take me away with you to that place of fullness experientially." Every Christian is born into fullness. Every Christian is born again carrying the fullness of Jesus. But not every Christian manifests and experiences the fullness of Jesus. Not every Christian has become uncomfortable with not enjoying everything that Jesus has. That's a great discomfort, to be uncomfortable with missing out on anything experientially. And whenever you pray that prayer, "Lord, take me away to that place that you purchased for me, that you accomplished for me at Calvary. I want to go there experientially, personally." He always responds, "Take me away with you" is a prayer, and let us run. I don't want to slowly get there. Let's run, Lord. Let us run to that place. There's a sense of urgency. You know, I've said this again this weekend that, you know, I'm not racing against anything other than time. Because I know that when I see him face to face, it's going to be this amazing discovery and experience. But I want to experience as much as I can here on this side. I don't want to leave anything behind that I could have experienced. And the cool thing about the Lord, from the parable of those who came to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, remember those who came to work at 9, at 12, at 3, at 4, at 5, who worked, he called people to work from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. He told those ones who originally came to work in the field that they'd get a denarius for 12 hours of work. And yet everybody who came the rest of the day, even those who came at 5 o'clock only worked 1 hour, they also got a denarius. Now the ones who worked for 12 hours thought that was unfair. But Jesus just says, "Why are you offended at my scandalous generosity?" Because his generosity is scandalous, particularly to the people in the church. Isn't that unfortunate? And that even if you've wasted time and you don't have much time left, you can know the fullness of what he has for you in whatever time you have left, even if you've only show up for the last hour to go for it. And there's a great joy in making up for lost time and having that burden in your heart. It's not a guilt thing, it's a joy thing. And to know that you actually can, that you can actually experience the full denarius, no matter what's gone on before. And the king brings me into this chamber, it's plural, you're always progressing, there's always this place. And when you get over into chapter 2, this is the Shulamite in poetic language, saying, "Listen, my beloved, behold, he's coming. He's climbing on the mountains. He's leaping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he's standing behind our wall. He's looking through the windows. He's peering through the lattice. My beloved responded and said to me, 'Arise, my love and my beautiful one. For behold, winter's past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for singing and pruning. The voice of the turtle dove has already been heard in the land. And the fig tree has ripened its figs, and the vines in blossom have given forth their fragrance. And the second time says, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away with me.'" If you were here for the Song of Solomon conference, the turtle doves are only heard at the time of harvest. And I know that God wants to use us to participate in harvesting. We've talked about that lately, that there needs to be a harvest in our belly where we just long to see God use us to manifest the kingdom of God, to bring heaven to people's experience. But the harvest first starts with Him harvesting us, more and more of our will, more and more of our heart, more and more of our desire. And this, whenever the turtle dove's heard, it's always at a time of harvest, because to the degree that we allow Him to harvest our hearts is the degree to which He will use us to harvest the hearts of others. And so this is the, Jesus comes along and says, "Arise up." She said, "Take me away with you, Lord. Let us run. Rise up and come away with me. There's a new place I want you to go to, but you got to leave everything behind that represents compromise, and even not just compromise. Where she was at, she called that our wall is a place, her, wherever she was at in the Lord, it's not bad, but there's more. And you've cried out for more, to experience more. So rise up and come away, but you got to leave that behind. There's a lot of cool things when you get to chapter, rest of chapter 2 about that. But it says in verse 1 of chapter 3, "On my bed, night after night, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I did not find him." Now, this is a believer who's confessing again that she loves Jesus. This is also the one who's cried out, "Lord, take me away with you. Let us run to this place that you provided for me. I want to experience everything that you suffered and died and rose again for that I might experience. I want to know it all." And so Jesus says, "Okay, come away. It's time for you to rise up, come to a new place. You've got to leave some of that behind. Even those things that are good in me, there's more. There's always more." And He's always doing this with us. If you really hunger for Him, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, if it's your desire to know Him fully and to manifest Him fully, that pursuit will never stop. And you'll never stop getting to a place where when you just think you got it figured out, "Okay, I've learned how to manage this place in you, Lord. This is a good place. I'm kind of comfortable here. It's sort of a safe place because I finally figured it out how to make this thing work here in this place. It was a little bit weird getting here, but now we're here and this is good." And then Jesus says, "Okay, time to leave that. Time to climb higher." And He says, He's calling her to the secret place of the steep pathway. There are just some things you can't take higher with you. Even good things you have to leave behind in the climb. And yet she says, "Night after night I sought him. On my bed, night after night I sought him, whom my soul loves, but did not find him." He's just said, you got to leave some things behind. And she's basically saying, the bed represents that which is really comfortable, that which is really familiar, that which is really safe. But she couldn't find him there because he was calling her to leave behind those things that you're comfortable with. Those things are familiar and those things are safe. You know, I love the story in The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. Was it is the Beaver family, when they asked the question, They finally, when the kids first hear about Aslan, this lion, and they ask the question, "Well, is he safe?" And the response is, "No, he's not safe, but he is good." Jesus isn't safe. And if being safe and just fitting into the American nightmare is all that you're after, because this is a nightmare to the things of God. Because the American dream is accumulate everything that you can accumulate, you know, and you're going after this dream of having more stuff, having more place, you know, influence, yada, yada, yada. I want to experience all these things. You know, I remember hearing people say over the years, because I've been doing this for a while, like that they had something wrong with them. They were praying for healing. They weren't healed yet. And they'd go, "I just pray that Jesus will let me live long enough to see my kids graduate from high school or to see someone, my child get married." I said, "Really? I mean, that's a cool thing, but that's better than heaven? I mean, that's better than seeing him face to face to do that?" Only Americans, only people in the West would think like that. You know, I get to spend a lot of time in Africa. There's not one African girl who's 18 years old that I've ever met who's depressed because she's not sure she's going to get a date to the prom. Because they're not distracted by the stuff that distracts us. And so one of the things that we've got to examine in our own hearts is this, is like, I say I want more. I say I want to experience everything that he is. But am I willing to leave behind my comfortable spirituality, those things that are safe for me? That's one of the things that I have just been talking to the Lord about lately, is that there are a lot of things that every church is a lot of things. Every expression of the church is a lot of things. We're a lot of things. We do some things that are different. It's part of who we are called to be. But one thing we are here, and I'm not trying to say that you're doing anything wrong, we're a charismatic church. And what I've had to come to grips with is that I can't be cute about that anymore. I can't spend the rest of my life trying to make people feel comfortable about that. We're called to be bug-eyed, crazy, lunatic, go for it, charismatics. And I don't want to be safe. And you can't be safe if you're going there. And I told the Lord a long time ago, you should never have shown me this stuff. Because you know me, if you show it to me, I can't play it safe. Even if it costs me everything. That's where you got to learn. And you don't walk. I'm not talking about being charismatic. I'm just talking about, is Jesus more important to you than anything, any relationship, anything in this world, to where you would be willing to give up whatever it takes to experience all that is? It's the only reasonable thing in any way, right? I urge you, therefore, brethren. That's what Paul said. The word literally is, I beg you, Paul said, brethren, in light of the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Anything less than radical, crazy, bug-eyed pursuit of Jesus that's willing to give up anything is insane. The crazier we get, the more reasonable we are to God. It's the safe ones that are crazy. That's always been a comfort to me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.